Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. I want to make sure you can hear me. Hare Krishna. So, this is my second time visiting this beautiful city in Slovenia, Ljubljana. My first time I came here, some of you were not born yet. 1998 was the first time I came here. And I see a lot of young faces in the audience, so I'm sure many of you were not born yet. But you were still alive. Somewhere. This is the main message that Srila Prabhupada has brought to us from the ancient spiritual culture of India, that we are not these material bodies. We never grow old. We never die. The body does. Not we ourselves. Okay? So even if you were not here in Ljubljana in 1998, you were somewhere. Somewhere. Either on this planet or some other planet. So Srila Prabhupada brought this ancient message for us, and it's coming down in the cyclic succession. It was not, sometimes we are classified, and especially in America and elsewhere in the world, they classify us as an NRM, a new religious movement. But this is not a new religious movement. It's a modern manifestation of a very ancient tradition. So most of you know Srila Prabhupada, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. And he brought this teaching coming down in the cyclic session from Sri Sri Gornitai, the Panchatattva, as we have here on the altar. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Gadadhar, Sri Vas, Adi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. So this movement is going on. It's not like Lord Chaitanya's movement was here 500 years ago and now this is different. No, we are a part of that movement. So this is also part of Srila Prabhupada's message. So those who have not yet heard this message, they are on the path of what we say, especially in America, they're leading lives of quiet desperation, meaning that they're working hard just to eat, to sleep, have a little fun, so-called, but they know deep in their hearts that there's more to life than this. Therefore, they don't feel satisfied. The soul can never be satisfied by any amount of material arrangement. And therefore, like this guy in the middle here, they're literally dying inside every day, even though externally it may seem like everything is alright. You know, like I said, the job is there, the home is there, the car is there, the dog is there, but they're not happy. Because the soul can never be satisfied with any amount of a material arrangement. And sometimes people are surprised by this. Because they know, they see people who have lots of money. They have big houses, especially I live in Southern California. There's Hollywood, a lot of movie stars. They have big, big homes in Beverly Hills. But you look in the news, they're not happy. So the people who don't have money, they wonder, why? If I had that kind of money, I would be happy, but it's not true. The soul can never be happy by any amount of material aggrandizement, by no amount of money or land or anything material can satisfy the soul. Only connection with Sri Panchatattva will satisfy us. So, they're chasing after the ephemeral. I don't know how you translate that into your language. Somebody translating? How you say ephemeral? Yes, something that's transitory, that's not substantial. And usually we're chasing after beauty, right? So this young lady, very beautiful, but gradually in time the body looks like that. We all know that. We all know that. It continually changes. From birth to death, the body is continually changing. It never remains the same. And we're not picking on the ladies. This is one of my godbrothers, Yadubar Prabhu, some of you may know. This is his father. This photo on the right side here, this is the father when he was in his 30s, and now this is what he looks like today. So this is a real person, real photograph. So he is the same person, the same soul inside the body, but the body is constantly changing. From this nice, handsome, dark-haired man to this white-haired old man. It's always changing. Right? As we say, time and tide wait for no one. You may try to hold back the passage of time by exercising and buying all these nice cosmetics and all this kind of stuff, but it doesn't work. Doesn't work. The time will continue passing and the body will change. So, but people don't like to acknowledge that because they don't know what the alternative is, right? You got it right away. So you see here, they try their best. You go here, it says learn to fly here, right? But this was the result of the flight. Huh? People are getting bad advice in this world. People are telling them, yeah, if you learn to fly, you'll be happy. If you jump out of an airplane, you'll be happy. If you go to Brazil, you'll be happy. But nothing in this world will make us happy unless we are connected completely to the Lord. So, we have now been put in a position where we have a choice how to live our life. Yes, we're looking for adventure. We are looking for happiness in this world. But Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, you can read this whole verse later on. Krishna says, I am adventure. So when you come to Krishna consciousness, it's not like you're going to be without adventure. It's full of adventure. I know. I joined when I was 20 years old in 1973 in New York City. And the adventure is expanding. I'm just having a great time interacting with all of you and so many people I've met all over the world. It's just a great adventure, Krishna consciousness. So now we're going to take a tour. Because many of you, how many of you have been to some temple outside of Slovenia? Put your hand up. If you've been to any ISKCON temple outside of Slovenia. Okay, quite a few. Very, very nice, significant number. But Prabhupada named this the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. When he first gave it that name, in 1966 in New York, somebody said, why not call it God Consciousness? He said, no. We want everybody to know that Krishna is God. So he said, Krishna Consciousness. But there was never any doubt about the international part. Even though Prabhupada started with one small storefront in New York City, he knew that his movement would spread all around the world. Therefore, he named it the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Currently, there are more than 500 ISKCON temples. If you were to go on vacation, like I've heard that in this country, if the wife stays at home and then you have a child, the husband can take 1 year off from work with full pay. That's very nice. So what to do in that 1 year? Go travel. Go around ISKCON. Visit as many ISKCON temples as you can. It will be a nice adventure. So now we're starting in India. Prabhupada, even though he was from India, he started his movement in the United States, knowing that when he went back to India, the Indians would be very curious, how come these Westerners have become devotees? So, one of the projects that Prabhupada planned before leaving this planet was called the Temple of Vedic Planetarium, wherein he wanted to show the world the actual situation of the universe, the Vedic cosmos, with the planetary systems leading all the way up to Vaikuntha and then ultimately to Goloka Vrindavan. So this temple was Prabhupada's idea. It was not something that we dreamt up. He came up with this temple. On the left-hand side here, there will be a IMAX theater and a research library for scholars. The main dome under which there will be the deities, Shri Radha Madhava and Ashashaki and the Panchatattva. And then on this dome here on the right, under this will be Ugra Nrisimhadeva. Who've been to Mayapur? Anybody here been to Mayapur? You've seen Ugra Nrisimhadeva? Right. It is said that he's so fierce that he has to have his own temple. So, he'll be here. Now, that's not just a dream. The temple is going up. This actually is an old picture of more than a year ago. I was there just a few months ago, and a month ago actually, and this is what it looks like now. Construction is going on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Non-stop construction. So even at night, they're working. Here you see a crew on top of one of the smaller domes here. And while I was there, I was able to take a tour of the construction along with a group of devotees who came from China. There were about 50 devotees from China at that time while I was there, and we all went together on that tour. So here you can see we're approaching the main steps to get into the main area of the temple. Here you get an idea of the scale. You see how small we are. And this is that parikrama path that will take you up all through the material cosmos, all the way up to Goloka Vrindavan. And this is the dome area. The dome is now under construction. They hired a special team of engineers to construct this dome. It's the second largest dome in the world after the Vatican. So some devotees say, why not? Why didn't it make so bigger than the Vatican? No, it's all right. We'll let them stay number one. No problem. So these are the main deities in Mayapur, Shri Radha Madhava and Ashtashaki. Jai. This is the view from the new temple, looking at Prabhupada's Samadhi temple, which we know is a very big temple. It shows you how large the new temple is, because Prabhupada's Samadhi temple is very big. Now we've moved to Pune. Pune is in Maharashtra. It's not far from our Mumbai complex. And this was the plan that was conceived some years ago to have a Vedic-style temple here and a smaller South Indian temple of Balaji and a guest house and auditorium like that. And they have actually built it. It's now completed. This is the main temple building. Beautiful style temple. And there is the Abhishekam going up, the domes over the deities. And the president of India came for the opening of this temple. Because unlike the early days, when Prabhupada first brought the devotees back to India and he established ISKCON in India, the Indian government was actually unfavorable. Somebody had told them that the devotees from America were CIA agents. So they didn't like us. So Prabhupada gradually had to convince them that what CIA? They're sleeping on the floor, they're eating khichdi, they're not CIA agents. So the temple opening, the president of India had planned to stay only for a half an hour, but he stayed for 2.5 hours. He was so delighted by the proceeding. This is Gopal Krishna Maharaj, who has made it his life's mission to establish many temples, especially in the Delhi area, because Prabhupada wanted to have many temples to attract the Indian people back to their original culture. These are the guest house and rooms for classes, administration. There's a Govinda's restaurant there also. By the way, I've been to many Govinda's restaurants all over the world, and the one you have here is very, very nice. Very, very nice. Highly ranked. So, and on each side of the temple compound, they have a huge apartment building just like this. Each side has one, and it's completely full of devotees. Every building already completely full of devotees. So, it's a very, very vibrant community. This is the deities, Shishi Radha Vrindavan Chandra. Kijai. And one project that Prabhupada had asked the devotees in India to establish, because in India there are a lot of, you know, wealthy people, and he said, if you want to attract them, because the ISKCON is not just for preaching to the masses of people, we also have to learn how to preach to class. In other words, people who have money and education, culture. So Prabhupada wanted them to establish these schools to attract the children of rich people to come and study. They would learn the academic subjects along with the spiritual culture. So they did this in Mumbai, and they have 900 students there and 70 teachers. They learn, just as you learn here, all the songs of the Vaishnavacharyas, and they learn the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and along with their academic subjects. And they have deities of Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra. They perform a Rath Yatra. They have only take prasadam. So, you know, there's a saying in English, you are what you eat. So if you grow up eating only prasadam, then you have a prasadam body. There's a chemistry lab, auditorium, everything that a regular school would have. But on top of that, they have again the Krishna conscious culture. Now in India, now when I first came here in 98, there was a program of the devotees going out to the Sri Prasadam in schools here in the Ljubljana area. Very nice, but in India, they do everything bigger because India is a country of more than 1 billion people. So they have a program there of distributing prasadam to school children every day. It's subsidized by the government. The government pays for most of it. And every day they distribute more than 1 million, and that's not a mistake I'm making, 1 million plates of prasadam every day are distributed by this program. And you can see the vehicles are just lined up waiting to take prasadam to the schools. Now, right now, currently there are 27 centers in the New Delhi area. I have not visited all of them personally, but the main one is the Glory of India project, where there's Radha Partha Sarathi. But they've established many other temples and more to come. Now we're in Chennai, it used to be known as Madras. Many years ago, this area was completely remote. It was like, you know, nobody went there. It was just like a remote area. And one gentleman gave the devotees a piece of land there to build a temple. And the devotees were wondering, why do we want to go to this remote area? But they accepted, and they went there and they built a temple. And now it's one of the more attractive spots in Chennai. A lot of tourists come here. It's the longest white sand beach in India. A beautiful area. This is a temple that they constructed in that area in Chennai. They expected 10,000 people to come for the temple opening, but actually 25,000 came. You can imagine when you open your grand temple here, if 25,000 people would come, That would be quite a traffic jam. You would have to hire all the policemen in Ljubljana to control the traffic. They had full prasadam for everyone. Beautiful white marble temple. If you get a chance to go to Chennai, you should. These are the deities, Sri Sri Radha Krishna. And who is on the left side always? We discussed that, Lalita, and the other side? Vishakha. So whenever you see Radha Krishna and only two gopis, it's always Lalita Vishakha. In Mayapur we saw Ashtashakhi, so there were eight gopis, four on each side. Okay. This is the place where Srila Prabhupada appeared in this world. Who knows when did Srila Prabhupada appear? Which year? Who said? 1896. Yes, 1896. So Prabhupada appeared in this world, 1896, underneath this jackfruit tree. Anybody know what jackfruit is? Yes, you know? Yeah, it's a big fruit. It's like a watermelon. Lubenitsa. It's like Lubenitsa, big watermelon. But it has rough skin, very rough skin. And inside, huge seeds surrounded by the fleshy part that's very tasty. And you can actually, you can eat it like a fruit or you can cook it like sabji. Very unique fruit, jackfruit. So Prabhupada appeared in this world in 1896 under this jackfruit tree in Calcutta. And for many years, we tried to acquire this property and it took a very long time, but we finally, ISKCON now finally has ownership of this property where Prabhupada appeared. And there are some tenants living on the property still, but gradually it will be transformed and we'll build a nice facility there for devotees to visit. Now, this year we had what's called the ILS ISKCON Leadership Sangha that was held in Mayapur. I happened to be there myself for this. This is a group photo before it started because it's natural around the world that in our community there will be leaders. And the leaders need to be trained and updated constantly as to what they should be doing and how to properly lead their communities. So this is the theme of the Leadership Sangha, to come together, to engage fully in devotional activities, but also to discuss the necessities of how to lead the ISKCON, International Society for Christian Consciousness, into the future. So everybody got a free flash drive filled with all the different presentations that were made. And these are now, I think, actually available online. If you go to mayapur.com, I think you can get it there. All right, now we're going to South America. So Ram Navami is coming up in 2 days. Who knows the connection between Ram Lila and South America? Who knows? Yes, there was a tunnel from... from Lanka to? Where in South America? Brazil, yes. So now they're going to have this World Cup in Brazil, but we know that Brazil is not a new country. It's not something new. This was, Ram Lila happened in the Treta Yuga, which is millions of years ago. So even back then, that country existed, and it was full of gold. Later on, in the 14th, 15th century, the Spanish went there and they also discovered a lot of gold. But it's not a new thing. That gold was there from a long time ago, Lord Ramachandra's time. So anyway, we have some beautiful projects in Brazil. Here is a project standing here on that site. You can see, just barely see the Atlantic Ocean here. And it's beautiful, beautiful property. They almost all sustainable. I mean, they do have to buy some things, but they grow a lot of produce there. Very beautiful place. They have yoga retreat center and very nice. This is the town of Recife. And the devotees there have successfully petitioned to have this town square named as Prabhupada Square. So, Haribo, Srila Prabhupada. Anybody recognize this person here? Dinabandhu Prabhu, yes. He's one of the best parikrama leader in ISKCON. I happened, after Mayapur, I went to Vrindavan and I went out several days with him. I've known him a long time, but I'm always amazed at how well he leads the parikrama around Vrindavan. Now this is Lima, Peru. And Peru is one of the countries, I know there are some disciples of Jayanta Pratapa Maharaj here, that Jayanta Pratapa Maharaj used to go to regularly. There's Peru is on the west coast of South America. It's a long, skinny country. Next door, there's Bolivia, and up top, there's Ecuador. So Maharaj used to go to both those three countries a lot. And now that he's not traveling so much, he's actually asked me to start going there. I don't know where I'm going to find the time, but I will try to go there. But this is a temple in Lima, which is the capital city. In that city alone, they have three temples, very nice temples. So this is one of them. And they also have, I think, five restaurants. This is one, Govinda's, nice restaurant downstairs. And then upstairs, they have like a preaching center where they have programs. This is in the Miraflores area. Now we're in Mexico. This is Rath Yatra in Mexico City. Mexico is one of the Latin countries that Prabhupada actually visited. He went to Mexico City. I believe it was in 1974. And so he actually initiated devotees there. And as you notice, the Rath Yatra cards, one for Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, and they... top actually comes down. Whenever there's some wire across the street, they have a mechanism so the top can come down, so they can go under the wire. So, the first Rath Yatra carts in the West were actually made, where? No, not New York, San Francisco. The first Rath Yatra was done on a flatbed truck. But the first real carts like these, like Jagannath Puri style, were done in Los Angeles. That's the whole story of Jayananda Prabhu, who's our first saint in ISKCON. Prabhupada said he went back to Godhead. So he was responsible for design and construction of those carts before he passed away. And then after that, they were replicated elsewhere in New York and other places. So, and devotees are chanting and dancing, having a nice time in Mexico City, spreading the holy name. This movement is joyfully performed. Those, anybody who's been around for some time, you know, just by chanting Hare Krishna, Prabhupada said you should chant, dance, and then when you're tired, you take a little prasadam, hear a little philosophy, and then you do it all over again. Chant and dance. And this is what we're about. Lord Chaitanya's movement, and Lord Chaitanya personally did that. That's why you see the deities are standing like that. They're always chanting and dancing and having a wonderful time. This is the main way of spreading God consciousness, Krishna consciousness in the Kali Yuga. To chant and dance Hare Krishna. Chant, dance, that's all. Then if somebody wants to know, why are you guys always chanting and dancing, you're so happy, then you give them a Bhagavad Gita. Then they will understand. This is how it works. So here's Panama. Where's Panama? Who knows? Especially some of the younger... Where's Panama? Central America, yes. There's North America, big continent, and there's South America, and it's connected by Central America, and Panama is there. And what is it famous for? To non-devotees. The Panama Canal, yes. Previously, the ships, they would have to go from Europe, they'd have to go all the way to the bottom, around South America, and back up. But now they just go through the Panama Canal. So, in the Panama zone, there are quite a few devotees. Every year, they have a very big Rath Yatra. And so, this is what you're looking at. Now we're in ISKCON, North America. We've been really, really pushing for increasing book distribution in North America because Prabhupada said books are the basis, preaching is the essence, purity is the force, and utility is the principle. So the books are the basis of everything. If we want to have this movement spread, then the books have to go out because this is how people will be convinced. Prabhupada said, yes, you can run for political office, but even if you were to win, let's say you became president of Slovenia, if the people are not in tune, then it's not going to work. Because as soon as you say, no meat, everybody's going to say, throw him out of office. No, so the books have to go out, and when the common people understand the principles of Krishna consciousness, then they will want a Krishna conscious leader. Otherwise, even if somehow or other you get to be the leader, if the people are not with you, then it doesn't work. So the books are the basis, and in North America, we're going through a resurgence of book distribution. In the last few years, we've increased by 25% or more every year. So it's really the best it's been in 30 years. And most of our books are distributed in the summertime at rock concerts. So these are the kind of people who are getting the books, young men and women, and they're very happy to get. And this, who recognizes this book? This is The Science of Self-Realization. So they get this book, and they're very happy. It's full of knowledge that they've never heard before. And look at this guy. Who knows? If he hadn't gotten a Krishna book, some devotee mercifully gave him a Krishna book. Look, you can tell what kind of animal he was going to come back in his next life. I mean, look at that. So we're actually, literally, I mean, it's funny to us, but we're actually saving people from hellish life. Every time you distribute one of Papa's books, that person has been saved from hellish life, from coming back as a cow or a dog or something lower than that. So, very important. Now, in ISKCON Silicon Valley, by Shaishika Prabhu, he gets everybody in the community to go out and distribute books, including even the pets. So, there's no excuse. If the dogs can distribute books, why not the human beings, right? So they put a little backpack on the dog and they put the books in there. And when somebody sees a dog and they wonder, oh, what's that? And the dog just looks like that and they take a book and leave a donation. Like, yeah. Doesn't even have to bark. Just look cute and they will take a book. So we also have something called a Motel Gita. In America, I don't know if you do it in this country, but in America, almost every hotel or motel you go to, they have in the nightstand drawer, they have a Holy Bible. So in America, though, a lot of the hotels and motels nowadays are owned by Indians. So many years ago, they were wondering, why should we have people read the Bible? Why not our book of knowledge, the Holy Bhagavad Gita? So devotees took up the challenge, and they've been distributing Bhagavad Gitas to hotels and motels. Now there are lots of hotels and motels that have the Bhagavad Gita. And the hotel owners are noticing something, that the Bibles, they will stay in the drawer for years. Nobody will take it. But the Bhagavad Gita, people take them. They actually come when they're checking out. They say, you know, I started reading and I got to like chapter 6 and I didn't finish. Can I take it home? Yes, of course. Take it home. So far, 190,000 Gitas have been distributed to date. And ISKCON Silicon Valley, which is where Vaisheshika Prabhu is in charge, they distributed last December marathon almost 17,000 in 1 month. But we should not become complacent. The Gideon people, this is a society called the Gideon Society, they've been doing this Bible distribution to hotels and motels for a long time. They have 196 languages, the Bible translated. They've been doing this in 93 countries. They've distributed 84.5 million just in the year 2012, which is the last time we have numbers available, and 1.8 billion since 1908. So we have a lot of catching up to do. So don't become complacent. Every year, just go on distributing more and more and more books. So this is the New York Ratha Yatra, again, with the three beautiful cards. Prabhupada said he came to America because some of his godbrothers had gone to England, some had gone to Germany, like that. But he said he chose America because America was the most important country as far as he was concerned. Everybody copies the Americans. They said, let me go. If I'm going to try, let me try in the most important place. So he went to America. He went to New York, which is the most important city in America. And he went to, had his Ratha Yatra performed on Fifth Avenue, which is the most important street in New York. Anybody been to New York? Put your hand up. Just a few. Yeah. And this is the LA Ratha Yatra. This is a community that I'm based in. And this has been going on since 1975 was the first one. And it's held down by the beach, Venice Beach. We're there the whole day. And we set up a lot of bundles with food and gift. And the three cars go along the beach walkway. And it's estimated about 50,000 people come to this festival every year. Now, this is Chicago. And His Holiness Dave Amritaswamy, when he was in New Zealand, he started something he called the Bhakti House Program, where they set up a house separate from the temple just to attract mostly working class people who may not be normally attracted to come to the temple, but who would come to a nice venue and take prasadam and just chant like that. So they're copying this all over America. We have a Bhakti House in LA, and in Chicago they call it the Krishna House. And so many people come after work and they get nice tasty prasadam and they chant and then a little philosophy, and then gradually they become more and more interested in Krishna consciousness. So we go to a lot of music and yoga festivals all over the United States. And there we find a lot of young people who are very receptive. You know, it's the summertime and they're trying to have fun, but while they're having fun, they meet a Hare Krishna monk, usually, and they get a book and they become interested in Krishna consciousness. Now, this is University of Florida, which is in Gainesville, Florida. Prabhupada actually went there once. And they have a publication that they send out to their alumni, you know, people who have graduated from the school, because they try to raise money from them. And they were wondering, now, what can we put in this book that will be attractive to our alumni? And they decided, we had nothing to do with this was their decision, they decided to feature the power of the Krishna lunch. Because we've been distributing prasadam on that college campus, that university campus, since 1975, nonstop, every year. They've been distributing prasadam there. So the people, these are not devotees, these are the administrators of the school, they decided to feature, remind the alumni about the power of the Krishna lunch. And they had all these nice pictures of the Krishna house, devotees serving prasadam to the college students. And it's extremely effective. Even if they don't become devotees, after 4 years of eating Krishna prasadam, they become very favorable to Krishna consciousness. I'll tell you a quick story. There was one devotee who wanted to buy a house. So he needed some credits and one needed a loan to buy the house. So he went to the bank. But being a devotee for a long time, he didn't have a lot of collateral and he didn't have all the right necessities. So he was turned down. They said, no, we cannot give you a loan. So he was leaving the bank and the bank manager saw him leaving and said, you're a Hare Krishna. Did you get what you came for? And he said, no. And he said, come to my office. And he said, what did you want? I want a loan. So he signed it right there. He said, you know why I'm doing this? He said, while I was in school, at this school, University of Florida, for 4 years you fed me. So that is the power of prasadam. Okay, now we go to the UK. This is the Bhaktivedanta Manor. Anybody been there? Put your hand up if you've been to the manor. A few? Yes. So you know the history, or you should know the history if you've read Prabhupada's Lilamrita, that George Harrison, one of the Beatles, he actually bought this manor to give to Srila Prabhupada. He was very close to Srila Prabhupada. He actually wanted to become a devotee and shave up, and Prabhupada said, no, you're doing better just by preaching through your music. So he never actually moved in, but he wanted to. He wanted to shave his head and move into the temple. So he bought this Bhaktivedanta Manor for Srila Prabhupada. And in the UK, they have a system, what they call charter schools, where the government actually pays to have religious educational schools. They have to teach the normal academics, but they're allowed to teach their spiritual tradition. And not only from our tradition, but other traditions also. But right now, the devotees have some schools. This one is called the Avanti School. And who is this person who recognizes? That's the Queen of England. Yes, so she came to visit this school. And these are young students in the school, and they're reciting Bhagavad Gita verses for the Queen of England. So, very auspicious. And she was very, very happy. We call her Bhakti and Liz. And so she was so happy, she was given the Bhagavad Gita while she was sitting there listening. And at the end, before she left, she asked quite politely, can I keep it? So the devotee told her, yes. So this devotee's name is Naveen Krishna. He's a very successful businessman. A lot of nice connections. So he's the one who arranged to have this visit from the Queen. So this is the actual school that we have, the first one. We have four of them so far, and six more are about to be open soon. And the government spends $80 million a year and $4 million per year for operations. So all the money comes from the UK government. The teachers are all devotees. They will accept students even from non-devotee families, but they have to agree to follow the principles and all that, eat prasadam while they're there. So they also have a goshala at the school. And this goshala is built to what they call LEEDS Green Standard, which means it's very eco-compliant. For instance, the goshala is made only of wood, very, very sustainable operation. And we have a lot of cows there. And so, but as you know, keeping cows is not cheap. It can be expensive. So what to do? Anyway, we'll get back to that. This is the London Rath Yatra on Piccadilly Street. Prabhupada actually attended the London Rath Yatra while he was here. That's the famous, and there's a video of that. Prabhupada is going down the street chanting and dancing and like that, and the devotees are going wild, and the policemen are asking him, please tell your leader to sit down. Tell him to sit down. And Prabhupada would not sit down. He danced the entire way of the Rath Yatra. Anyway, so they distribute 20,000 plates of prasadam at this Rath Yatra every year. This is Janmashtami at the manor. 1,500 volunteers come to help in setting up the Janmashtami celebration. They get more than 60,000 guests over a two-day period. And 40,000 plates of prasadam are distributed. 10,000 pizzas only. Where is that, pizza makers, if you had to be involved in that? Today they made some pizzas here. 10,000 pizzas just for Janmashtami. And they get the guests to chant one round of japa. Now the entire Janmashtami only, not, this is just the Janmashtami budget. $500,000 is the expense. But they collect $750,000. So just from Janmashtami they make $250,000. Okay. This is what it looks like. This area where the temple is located is called Lechmore Heath. So it's a very green area. And they set up all these nice tents. This is just early in the morning, Janmashtami Day. People are just beginning to arrive. Later on, it will be so solid, you wouldn't see anything, any ground there. And they encourage the young people especially to have a competition who can dress like Radha and Krishna. You can try that here, this Janmashtami. And they have something that I actually saw once while I was there. It's called a Leela Walk, where they set up different stations of pastimes of Krishna. So the guests, they go along this like a parikrama path and they see different pastimes of Krishna. Very beautiful. So like here's Krishna lying down, Balaram lying down and Krishna massaging his feet with the cowherd boys. So they have stations like this around the whole compound. Very beautiful. This is Aditi's, she's Radha Gokula Nanda and Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman. And close up, she's Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. Now, getting back to that business of the Goshala. Very expensive to maintain a Goshala. So, the temple president there in the UK, his name is Ruchi Dharmadas. I've met him. Very, very nice devotee. Very intelligent, though. He went to a toy store once, and he saw this cow bank. This is a savings bank in the shape of a cow. It has a slot on top where you put money. And the manufacturers have made it so you have to put in 10 pounds, let's say in your case 10 euros, before the cow will moo. If you put in anything less, the cow doesn't make any sound. But when you put in 10 euros, then the cow goes, mah. So he got a brilliant idea. He bought, I think, 500 of these cows, and he gave one to each family, said family. And of course, the children, they like to hear the cow moo, so they always tell the parents, put money, put money. So just from this cow bank program, he raised enough money to pay for the entire Goshala operation. Gomata Ki Jai, Haribo. So, George Harrison, he used to be very fond of coming to the manor, but because he's a celebrity, was a celebrity, he would always go in the back way. He didn't want anybody to see him. So he was slipping through the back. Now, typically, like in most buildings in the back, you don't keep so nicely. There's garbage and all kinds of things. So George would always try to, in a nice way, get the devotees to do something. He'd say, maybe we can do something nicer with the back of this building. You know, like that. But the devotees never did anything. But after George passed away, they decided to clean up the area, and they made a nice garden that they call the Garden for George. So if you go to the manor now, you can see in the back, there's this beautiful garden dedicated to George Harrison. This is Diwali, which is the Festival of Lights. It's also Indian Independence Day. And this was celebrated for the first time at 10 Downing Street, which is the residence of the UK Prime Minister. So the devotees were there. This is a devotee, and they gave him some books and very nice celebration at the 10 Downing Street. So there was a big picture of Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda, the deities we just saw, that, you know, that was placed inside the 10 Downing Street. And at the end of the program, the Prime Minister, actually it was his wife, who asked if they could keep the photo. And the devotees were surprised. They said, of course. And so now, at the 10 Downing Street, which is the Prime Minister's residence, they have a big picture of the deities upstairs in their residential quarters. So, and they chanted, you know, Hare Krishna inside the premises. So, beautiful program. Ananta Prabhu, how am I doing? How much more time do I have? It's time? Yeah? Okay. Now, this is an interesting story. Who is this? Radhanath Swami. So Radhanath Swami was, it says here a House of Commons, but it's not. It's really the banking committee. So these gentlemen are all heads of major banking institutions. And normally what they do is they invite some, you know, religious person, a rabbi or a minister or an imam or somebody to come and just speak for a few minutes to, in invocation for their meeting. So Radhanath Swami was supposed to speak only for a couple of minutes, but he spoke for 2.5 hours. They were so, attracted to his message, by his message. So at the end he told them, he said, this is very interesting. He said, I left home when I was 17 years old. I walked from Afghanistan to India. And he said, in my lifetime, I've never owned a bank account. Yet, here I am speaking to all these bankers. So that was kind of funny. Now, here's ISKCON in Russia. Russia, as you know, is a very big country. It's still nominally a communist country, totalitarian regime, but still there are so many devotees there. Every year they have a big festival. Used to be in the Crimean area. I don't know where they will have it now that the Crimea has been taken over. But anyway, more than 4,000 devotees come to this festival every year. And here you can see a big backdrop picture of Radha Madhava from Mayapur. And all the big ISKCON leaders, gurus and sannyasis, they come. Many seminars and, of course, a lot of chanting and a lot of prasadam. And the devotees, they take time to go down to the sea. And, you know, beautiful. Like I said, Krishna consciousness. Not I said. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that this is a path that is joyfully performed. So we should always be happy. If we find that we're not happy somehow or other in Krishna consciousness, then we should immediately find out why, what's happening. Something is not right. Go to somebody who can help and solve the problem. Because we're supposed to be very happy in chanting Hare Krishna, taking prasadam, dancing. Beautiful. And this is the city of Murmansk, which is above the Arctic Circle. So there's not much you can do here. There, the ground is permanently frozen. It's called permafrost. And so you can hardly even grow anything there. There's not much you can do. So the devotees have a temple in this town. And what to do? So the devotees are very, very intelligent. So they open a bakery. And they make these beautiful cakes. And just by selling these prasadam cakes, they make lots of money to run their temple and do everything. So here's a cake in the form of a telephone. Very intelligent devotees. Here's another one. Okay. So, here, the ordinary people, they glorify hard work. And we say, yes, you can work hard, but work hard for Krishna. Life is not, however, meant just for working hard. The ass also works hard. So we're not meant to be like asses, simply working hard just for a little grass. You know, this animal is working hard for some master, and all he gets is a little grass to eat. But, so human beings are not meant to live like that. You work hard for some master, and all you get is a little money to buy a little grass. Not like that. We are meant to, serve the supreme leader. Here, in Russia, in Moscow, I've been there. There's this long line, people are lined up to see Lenin's tomb. Lenin died a long time ago, so people wonder why everybody wants to see. And you know what the answer is? They want to make sure he's dead. So, okay, this is the original Moscow temple. I was there. This is called Moscow Begovaya temple, but the government took it over and they demolished the place. They threw the devotees out. What to do? So they gave them a piece of land and they made a plan to build another temple and they took the land away. And this went on like 4 times in a row. And so, one Russian businessman, he's not even a devotee, but he was just aware of the situation. So he became so upset at his own government for doing that to devotees that he gave them this land with these two buildings here. And now they're going to demolish these buildings and they're going to build a nice temple like this. So, this is the plan. So Krishna always takes care of the devotees. Yes, sometimes we may have to go through some trouble, but taking on trouble for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna, that is actually a noble life. That's actually a happy life. The non-devotees, they're taking all kinds of trouble just to make a little advancement and become the head of the company or make a little more money. But the devotees are, yes, we have to take on trouble sometimes, but it is for the pleasure of the Lord. So we'll stop here. There's actually some more to go, but I know the program has to go on. Thank you very much for your kind attention. And Haribo. Yes? Oh, Maharaj is not here yet. Okay, so let's go on. So this is Prabhupada. Prabhupada actually visited Moscow. And he said that in his experience that the people are very good, but the leaders are not good. And this is the situation all around the world. Jai, Maharaj, ki jai.